this and the injections, that the digital identity is marching forward and what they're doing with it, and that we need to be really aware of this, because right now our facial IDs are actually our digital IDs right now. So just so you know, in the United States, we have more surveillance cameras per capita than China, per capita.
Wow.
So we're not just talking about what you have out in the streets that we can see. And I do advise everybody start looking up. Look up around you. You'll be shocked about, I think every week I'm seeing more cameras, more towers going up, and strange little devices attached to them. And so I couldn't identify what this was, but inherently about last year, I thought, I feel like I'm watching my prison go up around me. And sure enough, I got that verified a couple weeks ago when I talked to a tech entrepreneur. His name is Aman Jabi. He actually made a lot of money in the business of optogenics, which is the light frequencies and pulses coming from cameras, also facial recognition in the cameras. He's worked with government as well. And he actually started to see about 3 years ago, or the realization came to him, that everything that he was working with, everything that the industry was working with, was actually all to harm us, all of it. And he was so disgusted, because as a family, he left and he moved to Montana, and he started to talk about this. And I knew a lot about it, but what I didn't know was about the LED lights, especially the blue purple ones that maybe some of you have seen. I started seeing this about a year ago. I left a Clay Clark event in Michigan. And then when I left at night, this whole highway was flooded with them. And I think I think one of my slides I sent, Cookie, it shows that photo that I took. I don't know if you can see it on there. No, not that one. It's this one. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So this is a very rural area. There's nothing, not even a gas station around. And this highway was just flooded with them. By chance, this was Grand Rapids, Michigan. And when I went there, I hadn't been there in a while. And Grand Rapids all of a sudden was booming again. I said, well, what industry? It used to be like furniture industry there. And I was told, and I saw all these universities with their research and development for tech. So they're a big tech, a city now. So I thought this was interesting, but I didn't have a good feeling. And when you're looking at them, they're really disorienting, meaning it's not safe for us to drive cars with these blue purple lights in our faces. And I knew there had to be a meaning to it. And so when I was talking to Aman, he was saying, well, these lights are different than the light that comes from our, let's say, our cell phones coming at us, because when they're using lasers, but then they use a diffuser, so that when it goes out, about 30,000 spots in your face are indicated, 30,000, but it's diffused, so it's not as irritating as well. He said, these don't have diffusers. These are really harsh on our eyes and not good for us to be around in general. But then he said, yes, they are putting them up. I've seen them in Atlanta Airport, and it's kind of funny. They'll put two up overnight, and then you might go there a week later, another two are up, and they do it really slowly. So now they're flooded, but no one's asking questions because they did it over time. Tampa, I've seen the same thing, et cetera. Well, he said that these are really concerning to him, because he knows that they actually have the ability to be used with a wavelength called something called a puke ray, or an LED incapacitator. And so there's the slide, I think, Cookie, I put just a little, depiction of, that's the one before that, I believe. There you go. So he said they can look just like the blue and the purple LED, because I don't know if anyone's bought these LED strip lights where you can change the color with a remote control. Sometimes they're white, sometimes they're blue, sometimes they're multicolored. Anyway, he said, that's the same thing. They can be triggered to change their colors and their frequency. So how does this work on a human? Well, they've been using it at the border control on illegal immigrants, supposedly, and other areas. So they can instantly have facial recognition, say this person is an illegal immigrant, or maybe they are violating something, whatever the facial recognition is, you know, determining that you're not a good person, that you need to be stopped. He said it would work in a millisecond. You wouldn't have time to even draw out a gun. He said then the frequencies could be changed at such a fast rate that the intracranial pressure would increase at such a rate that you would get nauseated and usually you puke. Your vision would be disoriented. You'd just be disabled. They claim that once it stops, that you could regain your ability to walk and see within minutes, but there's been discrepancy. He says, no, that's not true. Not always does that work. Why he's concerned is because he says these particular lights that have been going up, he said, can be used for that. And he said he's concerned because he also knows that they're all connected, like within their own intranet. They communicate with each other. And that it's designed for AI to ultimately control it. Meaning, he says, right now, our facial IDs are our digital IDs. And he said, there's only one reason to put these lights up, only one. He said, it's to harm humans. And he said, who's going to control that facial recognition? Who's going to control when that wavelength goes out, that frequency goes out? So he's put an alarm call out. He's trying to get people to understand that we need to talk to our sheriffs, our city councils, and inform them what these are, because he says they don't even know what they are. But you know, this is something that I could see harming us sooner than later. And if Cookie, if you go to that one slide I didn't go over yet, it has the diagram of the light. I don't know, it's in the next one. Yeah, this one. So this one is the one I've been seeing go up all around where I live. And this is the one that I initially said, why do I feel like I'm watching my digital cage go up around me? I'm laughing because you have to have some brevity sometimes, right? And sure enough, this has a solar, what it looks like a solar panel. He said they can actually, on the top of some of them, they can dock drones, but they have, of course, their facial recognition. They have ability to do sound, so low frequency sound, which can affect us. Of course, location, the lights, etc. So the point is, you know, this is something that's tangible that we can see that is going up that can harm us. And through just without us even having a true digital ID, like we're worried about with the vaccine injections. So it's something that I think we all need to be aware of and look at, start looking around, start talking to people, start educating, moving away from the cities if you possibly can or have a plan for that. Because this is something I really believe in. It's a frequency war, and this is another tool that they can use, and they can just blame AI if something's launched. So it's something that I'm seeing go forward faster and faster, you know, and you see these blue LED lights. He did say that in the cars, especially, you know, something like a Tesla car, the blue LED lights can communicate one car with another. They already are doing that even if you don't have a Tesla. If you see that blue LED light, the headlamps, he said they have a way of communicating with each other. So it's being aware of what's happening around us and educating and not using digital devices as much. You know, he's saying that the facial recognition is everywhere, but trying not to use these devices as much, you know, especially with children. And he's saying because not only can they be used as weapons, but it's also influencing us through optogenics. So for instance, with children, and they have certain learning devices or certain learning programs in the schools, and they know they can use the optogenics, the light impulses, to affect their neurotransmitters. So increase dopamine, for instance. And so your child is being geared, and it looks like a harmless little program. They're being geared and modified what gives them pleasure, what gives them stimulation, etc. It's something that we need to look at because they're also using this kind of technology with something called social bonds. This is the last thing I'll bring up, and I'm done. So social bonds, they're already trading us on the stock market. They're looking at the rate of change in a certain group of people. So they usually use this with inner city children. So they look at an inner city child and say, well, they have X percentage of success at going to college, let's say. So they bet. They say, I bet that I can use these certain interventions through optogenics, through neuromodulation, I can get this group of children to have a 50% or 100% more success of going to college. And so they start using these modifiers without the parents knowing or the children knowing they're doing this. And then they have stocks on us, they trade us. The problem with this is manyfold, right? So they're doing this without your knowledge, but then also the AI program's learning about how can I affect a human's behavior. So these are newer things in the market. I think it's, we talk about medicine a lot. We talk about health and being well, but I think we're forgetting something that all of us were never taught about was frequency. And they can use it through light and sound, digital devices. And it's a reminder to me, I don't have an answer, but I know that I want to make a concerted effort about, you know, starting to move away from the digital world more as much as I can, and just being aware of it, and then looking up and seeing these lights and educating people about it. So it's, I'm sorry, Sherry, it's not something uplifting to this time, but I thought
it was
okay.
You're right square in my wheelhouse, Carrie. You know, I'm Dr. Gloom Doom most of the time when it comes to this stuff, you know, but I think this is really super important. I'm really, you know, yeah. I mean, we've kind of known, you know, we talk about the 5G and we know the towers, and it was the only industry during COVID that wasn't shut down, and it grew at double digit rates all over the country and all these other things. This just seems to be the next level of that, you know, with these different frequencies, because we know that, you know, I mean, colored lights have the power to heal. So why wouldn't they have the power to destroy? You know, I mean, the old, like in Cuba and places like that, that they had those little, because I remember seeing these years ago, they would have little, you would buy them in a pack of little cellophane, they were like cellophane paper, really thin, of different colors, like red, orange, and yellow, and you could, you know, put two on at a time, and you would shine like a little laser light through it, and it would take that frequency of that color and go, and it would, you know, heal wounds and treat scars and all these other things. And so the frequency of your voices, I mean, there are those machines out there that when you say a series of words that are supposed to be the chromatic scale, you know, like C, C sharp, D, D sharp. And if you're missing certain frequencies out of your own voice, it can lead towards illness. And then you listen to these frequencies of, say, F sharp, you know, and they put that resonant frequency in, and it can heal you. So if you know you can do all these good things with light and sound, you know, put it into the wrong and the nefarious hands, I mean, they're going to do all the things in the opposite direction to us. So it's really no surprise, but it is really quite scary, kind of, when you think about it.
Because
it's stuff that can go, stuff that can go on that you aren't even aware of, you know.
Yeah. But remember, nature is amazing. We can ground ourselves with real light, sunlight in our eyes, go outside, work with our hands. Remember the power of prayer when you're really into that, and the power of love when it's measurable through Heart Math Institute. And that's not New Age. People keep mentioning I'm New Age. I'm not. Mm-hmm. You know, it's we have energy and frequency, and we can measure it just like an EKG, EEG, but the heart is electromagnetic. It's the most powerful with the love frequency. That negates all this other negative frequency. We just don't realize who and what we are. I always tell people that we need to remember that. You think prayer is not really powerful. It is so powerful when you come together. I've seen so much change when something seems impossible that works. So we have to remember that we're not powerless, and remember that this world was created amazingly and wonderfully and fearfully, and remember the natural energies that we have, the natural healing abilities. And one last thing is I'm looking more into the pyramids. You know, the Russians are amazing with their research. So they're using just pyramids, they're not using them for occultic practices, but they're using a 73 degree angle, which is a Russian pyramid, and also the Pyramid of Giza, I forgot that angle. Anyway, they're using it in their crops. They're just putting it there. And with that resonant energy, They're able to get 400 times more production. GMO seeds are known to change back into their wild type original genome all on their own because life has memory. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. And also water is more plentiful. Oil is more plentiful. It thins out. Extinct flowers are coming back. Immune systems go up. They're putting people near this. They're very healing. So it's not a modulating or doing a weird prayer through it. It's or occultic practices. It's just putting it in the location, and it's harnessing through sacred geometry the energy of the natural earth. That's it. So these are things that we should look into, because it's not just negative. We need to remember the positive energy that we have naturally.